And with that, we will move to item number 8, Hatchery Development Update with Mr. Mike Barnes. Welcome.
Hello. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mike Barnes. My official title is the Hatchery Program Administrator, or you can call me what my staff do, which is the Benevolent Hatchery Overlord. So either one is fine. Some familiar faces, you might remember the presentation last year when we talked about going down the yellow brick road to the wonderful land of Oz. Well, I'm continuing along that theme this year. But before I start, you are going to hear a lot about what we are doing. And I want to be really clear for everyone, the we does not refer to me. The we refers to the hatchery staff that are doing incredibly amazing things with the resources that are provided by Secretary Roedling, Director Kirschenman, and Fish Chief John Lott. It's a great time to be working in the hatchery system with such a supportive administration. All right, am I running this? Okay, just like last year, objective is very similar. Some of these slides are the same, so we'll see how much you remember. My first goal here is to inform you of what's going on, and some of you may be aware, you know, the legislature passed budget authority for us to do some work at Blue Dog, but that is not the only thing that we are doing. There is still a large amount of staff initiative going on, developing, creating, expanding production. But then there's also now this formal engineering that's happening up at Blue Dog where most of the emphasis is going to be placed over the coming years. I also invite you through this presentation, afterwards, however you want, to scrutinize what we are doing. Feedback is essential for our success, and then at the end of the day, I really, you know, appreciate your support and really want more of it. And then the very last thing, of course, is I want you to be impressed with your staff at the hatchery system. It's like I've been doing this a long time, and still when I go into some of the hatcheries, Claycorn or Blue Dog, and I walk in and I am impressed. I don't know any other way to describe it. For our newer commissioners, just a brief overview of the hatchery system. Claycorn Springs Hatchery in Rapid City is our oldest hatchery, built in 1928. In 2007, we spent about $8 million fixing that up. Originally a trout and salmon hatchery because of the cold water. Since that has expanded through new technology to growing all fish species at all sizes. Our other cold water hatchery, McNinney, is outside of Spearfish at Exit 2. That was a cold water trout and salmon hatchery, but has since expanded into warm water fish as well. And then our newest hatchery up in the northeast, Blue Dog Lake, which is now Blue Dog State Fish Hatchery, was built in 1982 and originally was primarily a cool and warm water fish. That's where all of our walleyes were produced, and that is changing as well. Just a few quick pictures. This is an overview of Claycorn Springs. Again, the most recently renovated in 2007. McNinney's out in the country, 30 acres in the middle of about 1,000 acre game production area. I think probably the most scenic of them all. It's just really nice. And then we have Blue Dog up in the northeast with all of the ponds for rearing fish on natural feed in the ponds. That was the original idea. Okay, this next slide is an exact duplicate of what you saw last year when I said, what's next? What are we going to do after all this good stuff we've been doing? We are going to finish Claycorn recirculating aquaculture. That's still happening. And then it was going to be Blue Dog, Blue Dog, Blue Dog, and then just a little bit of McNinney. And so that's the organization of this talk, what we're going to do. Some of you remember this, but if not, this is the visitor center at Claycorn Springs, the original visitor center, which through staff initiative, they gutted that visitor center and turned it into a recirculating aquaculture facility. And if, I think it was 3 years or 4 years ago now, you all visited Claycorn, even within a visitor center that has dramatically changed as we've added new technology and improved our infrastructure and the techniques used to rear them. And then also at Claycorn, this year for the first time, we finally found a permanent home for our walleye incubation rack. Those are this year's walleye eggs. that now are on feed at Cleghorn. Previously, that egg incubation rack was in the hatchery shop, and that's where we used it for several years. Based on the success of which hatchery staff have done there within that old visitor center, we did put up a new building. And finally now we are getting the time to start to develop that new building. This is inside, kind of messy, but this is actually walleye rearing taking place. If you follow the arrows up the elevated walkway, we go into the walleye rearing tanks, and if we get to peek inside, we have all these little walleyes on feed. And just as, I guess, kind of a reminder, the same number of fish in one of those six-foot tanks, that would be roughly equivalent to a two-acre rearing pond, which is why we're embracing this technology as it comes along. To finish this building, though, the plan is to start to install just four more tanks, two more systems. Those tanks are 12 feet in diameter. Each tank is 3,400 gallons. Through the magic of math and volumes, that 3,400 gallons is equivalent to 7 6-foot tanks. And what we're hoping to see is if we can get some economy of scale and reduce staff workloads by going with larger units. But again, this is all getting built by hatchery staff. It's all designed by hatchery staff. And with each RAS system we install, we reduce the amount of time that hatchery staff to actually have to build more systems. And so this is projected now. We're projecting this should be done in about 18 months. And then Cleghorn will be finished. If we go to Blue Dog, this is where the big emphasis is happening. We're approaching this in phases. So phase one, this coming fiscal year, we're looking at adding, finishing the liquid oxygen system that we started installing. Starting this year and into next fiscal year, we're going to be improving the water supply to the hatchery. The next fiscal year, we focus on water treatment. And then finally, after we get all of that basic infrastructure in place, then we'll start with the recirculating aquaculture building from an engineering standpoint. But the staff themselves are doing things, so we're actually implementing RAS right now. We were able to, this is a liquid oxygen tank. We saved hundreds of thousands of dollars by reusing this tank from Cleghorn Springs, as we had to upgrade the tank at Cleghorn for all of the additional production. So now that's at Blue Dog. The plan this year is we have to put in the lines. So this is where the tank is located. We're going to be running lines. We'll stub out some connections to the new building, the new RAS building, and then connect to a smaller RAS building that we are developing ourselves and eventually to the raceways. That's hopefully will take place this winter and everything will be good to go by next spring. That's the plan. The water supply issue, this came about because the hatchery has three existing wells. Two of those wells, the water from the wells over time has deteriorated, and we knew we needed to do something to improve that, and it would also reduce the amount of money that we would have to spend on filtration of that water before it could be used. Yeah. So this past year, we hired a consulting engineering firm and a well driller, and we drilled a number of test wells, and we found two that had superior water to our existing wells. So the plan is, in this coming year, to eliminate the two problematic wells and bring the other two new wells into production. Once we get that done, then we're going to have to do some engineering and replace the main water line, which has been in the ground now for almost 50 years and needs to be replaced. And we're going to upsize it to handle the increased water that we're going to need to increase production at Blue Dog. That's all happening. So now we're jumping ahead 2 years. That's when we get into replacing the water treatment, specifically the iron and manganese filters at the hatchery. This is probably the most expensive part. We're going to replace those. We need to replace a bunch of valves, plumbing, pumps inside the hatchery building. Again, once we get that done, then we move on to large-scale recirculating aquaculture. This is the proposed building location. We have a schematic. This is what it's going to look like inside. We're looking at 10 complete systems to grow walleyes, largemouth bass, muskies, bluegills, catfish, whatever is requested, as you might remember from the slide last year, to just incredible sizes in such a short amount of time. To pay for all this, we're planning this year to spend about $1.2 million, next fiscal year about $1.2 million, then we move into the iron filters, and now we're up. This is the big expense based on engineering estimates. And then fiscal year 30, then we're looking at $2.1 million. Throughout this whole project, though, we are going to be buying recirculating aquaculture equipment and storing it on site because of the lead times to get some of that equipment now has crept up to almost 2 years because of worldwide demand. So we're trying to plan all this out ahead so that everything just falls in without disrupting production of walleyes at Blue Dog Hatchery, which is another big thing. We're not shutting the hatchery down during production. Everything goes on. Now we look at some of the hatchery staff things going on. You might remember from the tour last year, we have an old iron filter building or lake filter building that now was empty, and there's an existing concrete pad. Staff put in an experimental rash unit into that, grew some largemouth bass to large sizes. So this past year, here's the concrete pad. We actually doubled that building to use the entire pad. And then inside that building, the plan is to put up to 4 systems now as we get the components. And hatchery staff will be doing that. Again, we're not waiting for this big project to be done. Staff just keep doing stuff. And that we were kind of planning on. The big surprise I got this year was in the walleye egg incubation racks at Blue Dog. All of the walleye incubation has one water supply at one temperature, and there is no manipulation of individual walleye rearing stacks. What that means is when those walleye eggs hatch, all 100 million hatch at the same time. And it is a crazy nightmare getting fish stocked, getting them into the ponds. And so the plan was, with the new building, we were going to put in a recirculating aquaculture system incubator, like we have at Claghorn. The estimated cost to do that was going to be over $1 million. But hatchery staff at Blue Dog, through some engineering, started to put in the components on the existing egg incubation rack. And now we're testing this year the first modification to grow walleye eggs at Blue Dog in recirculating aquaculture without having to spend all that money for a new incubation rack. Huge cost savings up front. The other part is we're trying it this year. In order to get those eggs to hatch, we also have a heat pump at Blue Dog that has a $30,000 demand charge just to turn it on and a $30,000 a month operating cost. We will recoup all that cost by doing this to each one of these incubators. We're planning on spending about $15,000 for each of the 5 incubators. $75,000 is done, and then we have complete control, and we've saved all that money. Unless you think, as some people have told me, you're just a bunch of hatchery staff, guys and gals, just coming up with these crazy ideas. You're just doing it without any thought. I thought I would show you this is what this is modeled after. So it isn't hatchery staff just thinking up stuff. There is a plan. It might not necessarily be formal engineering, but this is what it looks like. There is a plan and thought that goes into this. These are highly skilled, educated individuals that we are very fortunate to have working for us in the hatchery system. So I went over there, I was like, wow, that is incredible. And then they said, well, wait till you see this. So then we went into the existing hatchery tank room, and they are now using, those are just drums and pipes and pumps, and they got little heaters, and they're starting to convert. This year they converted some of the rectangular tanks into recirculating aquaculture. And without going into all the details, they were doing that because we needed to grow some muskie to larger sizes. So these are some of the muskie, which don't look that big in the tank, but this picture was taken about a month ago, and those fish are already over 18 inches. And that's in less than a year. And I think it's pretty well understood, although I'm not a fish manager, I'm told, but I think the literature says the bigger the fish are, the bigger the muskies particularly, the more of them are going to survive and recruit into the fishery. So that's the benefit of all of this. So, and then we have, after all that, a little bit at McNinney. So at McNinney, this is the McNinney system that was put into a converted pole barn, post-frame building, spray foam insulation. Staff did everything in there, poured the concrete, all the tank. Well, we bought the tanks, all the plumbing, built the CO2 stripper, all of that kind of stuff. And we are using that. We used it last year to grow fish. This year we have largemouth bass in. I saw one that jumped out earlier this week that is already 14 inches in 10 months. It's pretty impressive. Until this year, we didn't have any backup power. So we were living on the edge. Fortunately, so this is inside the building. This is what it looks like on the outside. We were able to get Claycorn's old generator from their rest building because they had to upsize. So we got that for no charge, which works really well. And the plan is, as we have time and the resources available, we're going to take that little lean-to, remove all the equipment, and finish it out, and then put another system right next door. I don't have a good time frame on that because McNinney is not the focus, but as we have stuff available, it will eventually get done. And so with that, and I do hope I didn't exceed my 15 minutes. I was told repeatedly to not talk so much, so I'm really trying. But we are at the end, you know, we're still going down that yellow brick road, down towards that rainbow, and all I can say is thank you for providing the resources. Thank you for listening to me. And I will say, I have no intention of retiring soon. But I also know that at my age, most people don't get to say when they retire. Stuff happens. So since I have a captive audience, and I know there are people listening, I just want to thank you. I want to thank Administration Secretary Roebling, Director Kirschenman, Fish Chief John Lott, and then, more importantly, I think the anglers and the hunters that have paid my salary for the past 38 years for the career that I have had. And I really, it's just been tremendous. And so I'm very grateful, and I thank you. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them.
Very good, very good. Thank you, Mike. Any questions from the commission? I do have one thing I want you to kind of go over, Mike. When we talk about, was it House Bill 1047 that was passed to for the funding of Blue Dog, that had an emergency clause too, correct? So it went into effect immediately. Is that accurate? I'm just curious about the funding, just even for the new commissioners here, what that looked like and what those allocations are.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll take this question. Kevin Roebling, Secretary of Game, Fish and Parks. Great question, 1047. What the 1047 did is it gave the project approval for us to conduct a project over $2.5 million. And that was the main, I would say, content of that bill, project approval from the state legislature to proceed with a construction project that exceeds $2.5 million. The other part of that bill, it gave us the budget authority. However, it did not give us any money. No money came with the bill. We'll have to fundraise money to cover the costs of this project, along then with DGA funds, Dingle Johnson, excise tax on fishing equipment, fishing tackle, that sort of thing. And then the last but not least, fishing license dollars as well. So we can start. I don't believe there was an emergency clause on there, but there didn't need to be. And ultimately, the project can begin. And we can then proceed with fundraising. We can proceed with making sure we have the funds available when these expenditures do arise during those fiscal years that Mike identified. But again, the bill did not come with any general funds. We are still going to be using license dollars to fund the project. It just gave us project approval and budget authority to move forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Whitmire, being from up in the northeast there, I'm curious on the water demands with the well and the treatment. I know the rural water system up there is doing some expansions to add the city of Wabe and hopefully potentially the hatchery, but I don't know that they can supply enough water. Do you know what those
requirements? We have been, since the start of this project, we have been in contact with Webb, with rural water, and we have committed to rural water for the domestic needs at the hatchery and the hatchery residences at a minimum. That's because it is superior water, with, as you're well aware of some of the issues in the Northeast. To supply the volume of water that we want for flow through aquaculture for, say, trout and salmon rearing at Blue Dog, which of course is the vision that Blue Dog is going to be able to supply everything for eastern South Dakota, Webb can't supply that. But it can supply the water that we need for recirculating aquaculture because in those systems, we only lose at most 1 to 2% of the water a day. And so there's just a little bit of makeup water. And in our conversations, what we've discussed is having essentially like a storage tank. So they could fill it over time and then we could just tap into it. We're still talking about pipe sizes to make that happen. But and if that would happen, that would my intent would we would use that for the RAS component of the hatchery, and the wells and the filtration would be dedicated towards the flow through component as well. So.
Additional questions from the commission and or comments? Secretary Roebling.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say, Mike, every time you present and showcase what your staff are doing, what you're doing, it never ceases to amaze me. So keep up the good work, sir. We have a lot of great momentum right now in the hatchery system. We are going to be launching a fundraising campaign real soon, and we're excited about that. Hopefully the end of the month here, we'll be launching that fundraising campaign. We're going to be asking anglers and others to donate to this cause to ensure that we can, you know, enhance our hatcheries to a point where we can increase production and provide more fish to anglers. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. So we're excited about that, and thank you, Mike, once again for making that all happen.
Very good. Thank you, Secretary. Great job, great presentation, and congratulations on your service to South Dakota. That's great. All right, with that, we are going to move on to number 9, walleye spawn.